Welcome to Vital Voices. Our guest today is Robert Sorrell. He is the author of the new book, Secret Appalachian Highlands, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Robert, thanks for joining us for Vital Voices.
Thank you for having me today. I'm glad to be here.
The first thing that strikes me about this book is the fact that you don't have to be a newcomer to enjoy it. People who have lived in this area all their lives will find out things they never knew from reading this book.
Yes, I agree. It is very good for the newcomers, though. But since the book has been released, I've had several people come up to me who have seen things that they have never seen before, they weren't aware of.
I know there are stories in this book from as far south as Greene County, Tennessee, and as far north as Norton, Virginia. Give me a more specific description of the breadth of the geographic area that you cover.
So the area focuses, like you said, from basically Greene County in Greenville, and it goes up north to the Norton area, as well as Brakes Interstate Park and Burke's Garden in Tazewell County. But it covers a lot of the Tri-Cities and basically all of Southwest Virginia and Northeast Tennessee.
Doing the research for this book must have been enormously fun.
It was. I was able to go to a lot of different places. A lot of the things that are in this book I wasn't aware of, so I did learn a lot of things. And I also got to meet a lot of new people, see a lot of different places I've never been to.
Before we get into specific stories, just generally, what were your criteria for selecting entries to put into the book?
Well, to be honest, the idea of the book is secrets in our area, things people may not be aware of, or they don't know the entire backstory of things. I did have a list of about 150 things when I first started, which was kind of challenging to narrow down because there's actually 84 items in the book. So I did go to a lot of places that unfortunately did not make it, but I made sure that I included things that, like you said, were weird, wonderful, and obscure, that meet that criteria. Some may have been just weird, some wonderful, some obscure, some all three.
Let's start out with the very first entry in the book. It's about Eliza McArdle Johnson, the wife of President Andrew Johnson. Of course, he and she are buried on Monument Hill in Greenville, Tennessee, but there's a Telford connection too. Explain that.
She was raised in the Telford area. Her family basically owned the property where the McCarty Church is today. The Daughters of the Revolutionary War actually decided to put a monument there to remember her, where she was born. But it's strange because it's in the middle of a cemetery, so I believe it may confuse some people who first run across it.
So I suppose one of the reasons you started out with this story is to eliminate the confusion about where she's buried.
Exactly, because in the book you also read about Monument Hill, where she's buried with her husband.
I'm just kind of jumping around here, which is what I guess the book is all about. You throw it in the glove compartment and travel here, there, and everywhere. But there is a brick museum in our area, a museum that contains a brick from the Great Wall of China, and curiously enough, a brick from the place, I think in Baltimore, where Babe Ruth was born.
Yes, that is one of the sites that I did not know existed. There's a lot of different interesting bricks, like you mentioned those two. There's also one from Babylon.
And we might point out that that museum is operated by General Shale, which is headquartered in Johnson City. What's your take on Johnson City and the Little Chicago moniker? I know you mentioned the Montrose Court apartment complex and the legend that Al Capone spent some time there. What's your take on that Chicago connection?
To be quite honest, over the years, I have really focused on history and finding documentation about some of the history that we are told. A lot of tales have been passed down about the history of Little Chicago and Al Capone's visits to Johnson City as he traveled from Chicago to Miami. But from what I've gathered, there isn't really any factual information out there. There are people who have heard stories from their grandparents or their great-grandparents, and it's really hard to say whether any of that's true. However, I think Johnson City does a really good job at showcasing that.
Are you, by the way, a believer in the theory that Long Island tea originated in Kingsport.
I actually believe, yes, I believe that is true, that it's from there rather than in New York State.
I think you live near Elizabethton, Tennessee, where there are some strange-looking stones. There is also one in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Explain to our listeners the function of these upping stones, or as I've heard some people call them, upping blocks.
Yes, so that was one of the things I ran across as I was just driving around town in Elizabethton. I just happened to be near the covered bridge there along the Doe River, and I saw the upping block or upping stone. It's also called a stepping stone. That's there along Hattie Avenue, and I was like, what is that for? I started to look into it and realized that back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when we had no cars in the area, people would use those steps to climb up under their horses and the horse and buggies.
Tell me what you discovered about Sinking Creek Baptist, which is, I believe, the oldest church in the state of Tennessee.
Okay, so Sinking Creek Baptist Church is supposed to be the longest continuously operating church in the state of Tennessee. It's located between Johnson City and Elizabethton. It was established back in the 1700s, and it's still there today. It's a small building there now. They did add on later where you see the brick Sinking Creek Church. And actually, this past year, they remodeled the older church.
The children in our listening audience may want to know more about a dinosaur park, which is located in, of all places, Bluff City, Tennessee.
Exactly. The Backyard Terrorist Park is there just outside of the town. And I spoke to the owner, and he said he decided to create the park because he enjoyed Jurassic Park. And he started building these lifelike dinosaurs that you see there in the woods. It's a really unique spot for our area.
You're listening to Vital Voices, and you're hearing parts of a 2024 interview with author and former newspaper reporter Robert Sorrell, who has traversed the roadways of East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia in search of fascinating facts and places. The result of his research is a book entitled Secret Appalachian Highlands, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure. The book is published by Reedy Press. One of the most fascinating structures for me in this region is the Stone Castle, which is the stadium for Tennessee High School in Bristol, and that has quite a history.
Yes, the Stone Castle was built basically after the New Deal, part of those projects that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had signed off on. And in our area, there were a lot of government projects to help some of the people get work. And they built that castle there where they now play football, and there's concerts there and all kinds of events. And they got that limestone from the local creeks.
One of the questions you answer in the book is, why are there wolf statues in Abingdon, Virginia?
So the reason why there's wolf statues is because early on during its founding, or before its founding, Daniel Boone and other pioneers would come in the area and they would see the wolves. And there's a spot where Daniel Boone is alleged to have hidden from the wolves in a cave. So you'll see those wolf statues all around town.
Speaking of Abingdon, take us inside the Washington County Courthouse there and describe the Tiffany window that I think is a real regional secret.
So if you are looking at the outside, from the outside of the Washington County Courthouse from Main Street in Abingdon, you'll see the big window on the front. It's very colorful. It's a Tiffany glass window that they dedicated to the veterans. And it's something that I think most people aren't even aware exists there. And it's very rare because I think the nearest one you may find is like the Roanoke area.
Still in Virginia, let's take a look at a geological structure called Natural Tunnel that William Jennings Bryan, no less, described as the eighth wonder of the world.
Yes, that is a really unique spot there in Scott County. It's where the trains used to and still do occasionally go through as they're going through the coal fields region. And if you're careful, you can go down to the base of it and see it. It's just a wonder.
Take us over to Rye Cove and take us back to May the 2nd, 1929, and talk about the worst tornado ever to hit the state of Virginia.
Yes, there was an awful tornado that hit there, and unfortunately, people were in the Rye Cove school at the time, and several children were killed during that. And during that, the emergency workers actually would take the students afterwards to the nearby building that the Red Cross had set up. And today you can actually visit that where they do nature projects and things like that. And you can learn about the history of the Rykov tornado.
In Scott County, Virginia, there is a place called the Devil's Bathtub. Explain the origin of that name.
I've heard many stories about why it was named that. Some people say it's because it looks like that. I've heard others say it's because of just how dangerous it is. It's a beautiful, amazing place to see, but unfortunately after it rains, it does become kind of dangerous.
As we mentioned, you go as far north as Norton, Virginia in this book, and I didn't realize that in downtown Norton is the only remaining Coca-Cola clock sign.
Yes, and they actually restored that a few years ago, and you can still see it today. It's all on one of the buildings there along Park Avenue.
I don't know if you are working on a second volume. You mentioned the fact that you had to cut out several items in this book to get down to 84. But if you are working on a second volume, what places would you include that didn't make it into the first one?
That is a really good question. So one of the things, if there is a second volume, I'll have to update some things, such as we don't know what's going to happen to Big John there at Pratt's Barbecue. But there's a lot of natural wonders that I was not able to include. There are some sites that I wasn't sure if I wanted to include because of where they're located and whether people could actually get to them, because that was one of the things that was required for this book. You have to be able to actually go to it and see it. For instance, people may have heard of the story of Tiger Whitehead in Carter County, where he was said to have killed 99 bears. And when he died, apparently his friends brought a bear to him to kill, and he decided not to because he said it wasn't fair to the bear. So there's a spot in Roan Mountain there where you can visit his grave that some people will visit. But it is a location that does have some bear activity there. So I question about whether to include it. Maybe I would in the future.
How have readers reacted to this book?
I have heard from all kinds of different people. Locals love it because it does showcase some of the amazing things that we have, things that maybe they were not aware of. There's also a lot of history in the book that they may have not been familiar with. Then I've also heard from people, I had actually one person in particular from Indiana who was visiting Milligan College and said that she was ecstatic to get the book because she has never seen a guidebook to our region before. And this does act as a travel guide to our area.
Did researching this book, writing this book, and publishing this book change you in any way?
Yes, I think so. Before I did this book, I really focused on the history of our area. I had to open up myself a little more to learn about some of the more modern things in our area, which is really exciting me to do more on that and learning about more of the more modern projects in our area, the architecture, the just different cultural aspects of our region.
Robert, you have a book in your hand. If you don't mind, pick out a favorite passage and read that for our listeners.
Okay, I'll actually read the introduction, which does allow people to have a better understanding of the book. One might expect a historic region tucked into the hills and valleys of the Appalachian Mountains to have some weird, wonderful, and obscure treasures. The Appalachian Highlands, a region consisting of the communities of Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia, has more than its share of strange, quirky, and unique places. In many cases, these places are also dripping with history and heritage, oftentimes dating back centuries. The core of the Appalachian Highlands region is comprised of what locals call the Tri-Cities, which includes Bristol, a city home to the not-so-obscure Bristol Motor Speedway, Johnson City, a world-class university town, and Kingsport, the center of industry for the region. A drive around the Tri-Cities might raise a few questions, like why is an airplane that seems to have crashed into the side of a hill along Interstate 26 still there? Why can visitors find not just one, but two giant Native American statues in the Tri-Cities? Who might have stayed in that luxury apartment building? Leave the cities and discover the region's many quaint and picturesque small towns in the rural countryside. This guidebook takes visitors and locals to the towns of Elizabethan, Greenville, Rogersville, and Irwin in Tennessee, as well as the Virginia towns of Abingdon, Norton, Big Stone Gap, and others. While visiting the rural Appalachian Highlands, visitors might ask, did they really punish criminals at the pillory? Why are there a bunch of wolves in Abingdon? What is a woodburger? Several famous residents, like Tennessee Ernie Ford and Eliza McCardle Johnson, as well as guests like Hank Williams Sr. are featured in this guidebook. This book uncovers many of the region's secrets and also includes a few ghost stories, mysteries, and legends. Oh, and there is a horse, of course.
That reading reminded me of something else I wanted to ask you, and that's about Hank Williams Sr. and the last night of his life and the theory that his driver stopped near what is today the Burger Bar in Bristol, which was supposedly the spot where Hank Williams consumed his last meal or last bite of food. What's your take on that idea?
To be honest, I am not sure if it's true. However, there are a lot of people out there that do believe it. There is a possibility that he did travel through Bristol on his last night of his life, but there's no factual information out there or documentation or pictures or anything like that that proves that he has stopped at the Burger Bar and ate. But I do know the Burger Bar enjoys that popularity.
And sure. How did you go about gathering all this information for your book?
I first created basically a list of things that I wanted to include in the book. And once I did that, I did start traveling. I had my notes, my camera with me, just visiting all the different locations. I reached out to pretty much everybody in the book, trying to get more information. I spoke to a lot of different people. I also went on social media to get ideas from people, because I knew I wasn't aware of all the secrets. And I did get quite a few suggestions that are in the book.
You've been hearing a 2024 interview we did with author and former newspaper reporter Robert Sorrell. He is the author of a fascinating book entitled Secret Appalachian Highlands, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. The book is published by Reedy Press. Vital Voices is heard every Saturday morning at 7 and Sunday afternoon at 2, right here on WETS FM 89.5. For Vital Voices, I'm Fred Sossman.